Scripture reading this evening is from Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aspenas, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's mead, and of the wine which he drank. So, nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus.
Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to serve you the word of God out of the first chapter of the book of Daniel. The whole chapter, but as a starting point, we take the first part of verse 8. So Daniel 1, the beginning of verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. This first chapter of Daniel, actually the whole book of Daniel, but mainly this first chapter, it talks about God's care for his people in Babylon. God's care for his people in Babylon. How they are tried, how they are saved, and how they are privileged. That's what we are looking after. God's care for his people in Babylon, how they are tried. And the king appointed them. They got in huge temptations. They were tried seriously. Secondly, we think about how they got saved. And that's what we read in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. He would not defile himself. And thirdly, it's about how they are privileged. For instance, we can read it in verse 20. Found them, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, 10 times better than all the magicians. So it's God's care for his people in Babylon. We see how they are tried, how they are saved, how they are privileged. It was their own fault. It was their own fault of the people of Israel. That the king of Babylon came. And that he, we can read it in verse 1, that he besieged Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he came, he besieged the city and he conquered the city. And he took many of them out of Jerusalem. Later on, even the city would be destroyed. But he conquered the city and he took out of them. It was their own fault. It was their own fault. Many times, the lords and prophets to warn them. They were seriously warned, again and again. But they continued. What a lesson also tonight. How often have you been warned? Every Sunday, again and again, have been warned to repent, to leave the evil ways, and to return and seek for the Lord. And those who seek him, they will find. That's the message. Every Sunday again, every day at home, what do you do with that message? The people of Israel, they did not listen. And then there will be a moment that the Lord makes his word true. He will always do. And easily we say when the Lord promises something, he will do it. But it's the same for his judgment. When he comes to warn, when he comes to judge, he will fulfill it. So it is also today. There come, if you don't fear the Lord and you live on, there will be a day that you die and that you have to be before his throne. And there will be an eternal judgment. Oh, return, repent to the Lord. And also here we see, it took ages. But at a certain moment, the Lord fulfilled his word, as he has spoken, so literally. I read you Isaiah 39, verse 6 and 7. There Isaiah prophesied, "Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." This prophecy is exactly fulfilled. The Lord always fulfilled what he said. But how is that possible? Because in Jerusalem there was the temple of the Lord. And Jerusalem was the place that the Lord had appointed, where he wanted to be served. Did God not connect his name to his people of Israel? The temple, it's ours. And the enemy will never conquer the temple. But they did, it happened. The temple was destroyed. Just a little bit later. The city was destroyed. The princes were taken away. How is that possible? The city of God, the temple of God, the people of God. Oh, God's ways can be so inapprehensible, so puzzling in our lives. And that is one of the most important messages of the book of Daniel. It looks like God is hidden. God's government, it's invisible. But if you look more carefully, you read more carefully, again and again you see how sovereign God rules. Oh, the Lord even let hurt his name in order to make his name more gorgeous. Oh, for sure, he is reigning. He is sovereign. But he's so hidden. Where is God? That's the big question of this chapter. Imagine there's the city of Babylon. Babylon, in Revelation we read it is an image of the whore. That's the city of the sin. Babylon, let's put it differently, is the capital of the empire of Satan. That's Babylon. Babylon is the empire of Satan. And it's the capital of it. And Shinar, as you can read in the second verse, because which he carried into the land of Shinar, all those vessels, he was taken to the land. Shinar is the land where Babylon is. We find that name back when we go back in the Bible. We find it in Genesis, one of the first chapters, the land of Shinar. It's the land where the Tower of Babylon was built. That's the land of Shinar. So it's the place, Babylon is the place of the whore, it's the place of sin. It's also the place where men try to build a tower, where men try to reach heaven, where men try to overpower God. That is Babylon, city of Satan, and the city where the mankind show to be enemy of God. And the king of that city came to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the image of the church, Zion. And Jerusalem conquered by Babylon. Jerusalem, the city of the Lord, conquered by the city of Satan. How is that possible? And the king of Babylon, he took the vessels out of the temple. And he took them and he brought them before his God. He presented all the vessels to Baal. O Baal, thou art an almighty God, because thou even have conquered the God of Israel, Jehovah. O Jehovah is nothing. But thou, Baal, thou art the most glorious God. It's like when the Philistines, they put the ark before Dagon. It's such a dishonor of the Lord. How can that happen? So the Lord is always jealous on his name. How can this be true? It happens. We read it in God's holy word. That's the truth. And in the book of Daniel, that seems to be the message. Baal. The idol Baal is stronger than Jehovah. How can you imagine those princes that were taken out of Jerusalem? The princes from Judah, they were taken to Babylon. Can you imagine the questions they have? Taken out of that city, where they always worship the Lord. They have to take them to Babylon. And there they went. And they were talking to each other. And probably Babylonian soldiers were talking to them. Would you think they were talking about Jehovah? They had only questions. Especially Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They had questions. Questions. How is it possible? Baal lives. And Jehovah is dead. Baal is more powerful than Jehovah. Baal is greater. How come? All kinds of questions. They do not have an answer. So it can be today. When you live in this world, you have colleagues or you meet other people. And they say, well, science proven to be right. And God, he's out of our country. God is dead. Don't believe in anymore. And what can you say? I believe in the Bible. But you feel it does not make sense. And maybe you have to question yourself. Oh, where is God? Where is the power of God? How is it possible that his holy city is overthrown by the empire of Satan? Only questions. And those men, it are a couple of princes, maybe it are 100, we don't know, let's say it are 100. They are put before the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon, he selected a couple of those people that are without blemish. He selected the most clever one, the best one, the perfect one. He selected out of them just to be in front of him. In order to make leaders out of them, leaders of the people. Leaders of the people of Israel. Leaders in the bigger empire of Babylon. So those people were selected. Probably they already were kind of leaders in Israel. Small country. And now they would become leaders in the big Babylon. Probably, young man, you would say, well, actually, the city was destroyed. There was a lot of sorrow. But on the other hand, those were lucky guys. They were taken to Babylon. They got education. And they would become the leaders. They would become, they will get to receive very high office. Happy guys. Are they? Or what was the intent of Nebuchadnezzar? The intent was to assimilate the Jewish people. To assimilate the Jewish belief. To assimilate, if it were possible, the God of Israel. And by taking those leaders, he wanted to influence them. So this morning, we have seen how the Satan was, well, he went to Eve, but also how the Satan went to Jesus. Here we see the Satan also working. And he's trying to tempt and to seduce those people, that they got assimilated. And then the people of Israel have leaders with a Babylonian mentality. Leaders who does not believe in Jehovah anymore, but who does serve Baal. That is what's behind this. That is the idea of Nebuchadnezzar. The idea of Satan. And let's see again how cunning Satan is working. Because what we see, he's taking those princes out of their context. He's disconnecting them from their roots. That's how he's doing that. He takes them out of the country and brings them to, for them, a strange place. Well, is that then a difficult situation? Well, think about it. It's like you are on holiday, probably. And then you come in a different culture. The people behave differently. They do things differently. And why not? Why not should we adapt? Why not should we behave like them? We can change our clothes. We can, well, maybe not go to church on Sunday anymore. They don't do that. Why should we do it? Let's adapt to them. Now we are in a different country. We need to adapt to those rules. Even if you're on holiday, maybe that's already the feeling you have. Different part of the country. No parental supervision. There's no one who stops you. No one who controls you, who checks you. So what those young men, they have learned from their homes. Why should they practice it? All the values that they received. Why should they use it? They're in a different environment. And no one who was checking. No father, no mother, who said, no, you have to keep the ways of the Lord. No, in that different country, disconnected from all the family, from all the parental controls, disconnected from everything, they could do whatever they want, especially in this position. They could ask the king for some extra. He would give it. So you can do whatever you want. Is that your desire as well? To be in a different place. where you can do whatever you want. No one is controlling you. You feel the temptation. Satan is tempting the heart. Satan is tempting to the evil. But they are surrounded, his fellow Jews. So all together, why not keep the Jewish tradition? Do you really think so? Why should we? Most of them had said, why should we? Jehovah is dead. Why should we? It's even worse. There were only four that stayed with the Lord. Only four. And all those fellow believers, all those fellow Jews, they turned against them. You feel the group pressure. That's how Satan works. A pressure, especially from your friends, from your fellows that you rely on. How can you stand? And then they have to study. They have to study geography. They have to study mechanics. They also have to study about the stars. They have to study all kinds of modern science. They have to study in the book of the Chaldeans. They have to study, well, about the idols, how to serve the idols. Still, Satan is working the same, trying to get someone out of his context where he's safe, where he's got control. And then you have to study the books of the modern science, for instance. And in those books, so prominent are the modern ideas. They are coming. They are like, well, they're like really evil things. And those ideas like evolution, they are given to the people, given to the students. The ideas of self-determination. I can do what I want. And that is given, those books are given to those four friends. It still is the case on universities, all different ideas. The free morality. The idea there's no God. We can live without God. God is dead. And so Nebuchadnezzar tries to assimilate those leaders into the Babylonian culture. They even have to speak the Chaldean language, the tongue of the Chaldeans. Another attack of the devil. Speaking another language, not the Hebrew anymore. Oh, God's holy law was written in the Hebrew. And now they have to learn another language. They have to forget the old language. They have to, well, not to read so much anymore in the Bible. Do you do the same? Bible so difficult. Now all the new English is much easier. Let's forget about it. Let's not read it any longer. And you understand less and less, reading less, understanding less, don't understand the expressions. And you got alienated of the Bible, of God's holy word. That's how Satan works, step by step, injecting the poison into those people, injecting nowadays as well the poison in our students, well, in all of us, in this daily life. Also, what the king is appointing, they need to use the food and the drink of the king. We can read it in verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. So they had to use that wine, that meal. While the king that gives such good education, it's all paid for them. They get good housing, it's all paid for them. They will become leaders, it's all paid for them. And they even get free food, the best food of the country, the same food as the king is using. Can you say no? Of course not. Of course you have to say yes. Of course you have to use it. You'll feel the pressure. And last but not least, they get different names. Different names, why? Well, it happens more often. If you give people other names, like Jehoiakim, he was mentioned in verse 1, his original name was Eliakim. The king of Babylon had given him a different name. Joseph, by Pharaoh, he was called Tsefnet-Paaneah. Why is that? Well, if you give someone another name, your name is your identity. So that means that you have the power on someone. You can change his name. A name says something. And by giving another name, Nebuchadnezzar like also to uproot those Jewish people and to remove those names. He hated those names. Why did he hate those names? Oh, what a comfortable names those four boys had. You can hear it already in the name Daniel and Mishael. It's the name El. The name of God is in those names. And you can look up by yourself what the meaning of those four names is. And the other two names, Hananiah, Azariah, it says the Yah in it from Yahweh. All those names of those four people, those four young boys, they remember them of the Lord. They remember them of Yahweh. But Jehovah, he's dead. Let's forget about him. And Nebuchadnezzar would like to get rid of everything what reminds him of the other empire. It's the empire of Satan. He would like to get rid of everything. The empire of the Lord. To wipe it out, if he could. And the names of those four people are replaced. Daniel is called Belshazzar, with the name Bel in it, the god of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all names that point to idols, idols of Babylon. That is how Nebuchadnezzar works, completely taking those four guys out of that context, disconnecting from their roots and put them in a completely different environment without control. Couldn't God have dealt differently with those people? Why is the Lord doing this? Why is the Lord letting this happen? Oh, God is testing those people. And this morning I said concerning Adam and Eve, that was a very easy test. All the trees, there was only one tree they were not allowed to eat from. You can imagine. This is not an easy test. And it's still reality today. Oh, what a very difficult tests and trials, temptations do God's people have when they are in the world. The world is doing everything to disconnect them from their God. And the Lord, where is he? We don't hear about him. But still, why does the Lord let this happen? He is ruling. Oh, he's sovereign. And he let do this. Because his work of grace has to become very clear. Against this coal black background, his power, his sovereignty, his grace will be sparkle. It is a miracle. In those situations that those young men are preserved, it will become very clear this is only grace. And in the lives of those people, the grace of the Lord is starting to shine after a serious test. So where is the Lord? He's hidden. But he's hidden only to let his name shine and to strengthen his people. And they are saved. That's our second thought. They are saved. What are they saved from? What is the result? At the end, they were allowed to stay at the court. That's true. But is that really what they were saved from? Most important, they were saved spiritually. Because the dangers were not so much that they could not stay at the court. The dangers were even more, the temptations were even more dangerous than the golden image of the next chapter. Than the lion's den. Those were spiritually dangerous. So when we say they were saved, we have to say they were saved in their hearts. That is how the Lord saved them. Not in the first place, their lives, but He saved their hearts. Or it was a fierce sea wall, a wall of fire around them. And that is the best filter. That spares from all temptations. That is a strong wall that no one can get through. And that's also Satan. He tried. But he could not get the hearts of those people. Why not? We read it in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. It's remarkable that word purposed in the original language. It is used before already. Nebuchadnezzar, he gave other names. Literally it said, he put other names on those people. Nebuchadnezzar, he put those names. And here it said, Daniel purposed. Literally, Daniel put in his heart. So as Satan, when Nebuchadnezzar put something, Daniel was putting something on the other side. Here Daniel was drawing a line in his heart. He put in his heart. He purposed in his heart. He had an intention. So what does the word of the Lord mean with he spares from all temptations? That is a strong wall that no one can get through. And that's also Satan. He tried. But he could not get the hearts of those people. Why not? We read it in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. It's remarkable that word purposed in the original language. It is used before already. Nebuchadnezzar, he gave other names. Literally it said, he put other names on those people. Nebuchadnezzar, he put those names. And here it said, Daniel purposed. Literally, Daniel put in his heart. So as Satan, when Nebuchadnezzar put something, Daniel was putting something on the other side. Here Daniel was drawing a line in his heart. He put in his heart. He purposed in his heart. He had an intention. So what does the word of the Lord mean with he purposed in his heart? I think it's the same when our young people do confession of faith. If you do confession of faith, you also purpose in your heart. You cannot just do confession of faith, right? You have to, unfortunately, some may do, but you have to purpose in your heart. What then? That you will always live up to God's commandments? It's the purpose. You want to do that, yes. It's a strong desire. Do you achieve it? That's not the question. The question is, the Lord asks, requires this. And the Lord is just and right. And I want to obey the Lord, no question. Whether I can do it. But it's my desire. This is the line I draw. The Lord, he has all the rights. And I have to live up to all his commandments. Daniel, he purposed in his heart. There's such a real purpose. That's not a natural thing. We always try to make exceptions. Oh, I do this, but maybe. Or I do it later. Or I hope I want to do it. No. To really purpose in your heart. That's not natural, but it's so needed. So when you do confession of faith, or not just when you do confession of faith. It wasn't Daniel, it wasn't his daily life. You have to do it every morning to purpose in your heart. Not to go over the line, to stay in the laws of the Lord. Every morning are you on your knees. to purpose in your heart, yeah, on your knees, to ask the Lord if He will work that in your heart with His Holy Spirit. Because from naturally, we don't want to serve the Lord. Naturally, we want to do the things that we like, that we want to have. But Daniel, he was really looking after to listen to the Lord. Naturally, no one is seeking the Lord. Daniel did. Why did this purpose come from? Well, the origin of this purpose, he was fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord. It's true, it's a work of the Holy Ghost. Fearing the Lord. That means Daniel did not have a different heart. His heart was changed. Had a new heart. A stone heart that naturally likes the world was taken out and replaced by a heart of flesh. And when the Holy Ghost works, the works of grace, He touches everything in your life, your will, your thinking, your acting. He's going into the midst of your lives and he knocks on the door of the heart. Well, He opens the heart that is closed. He softens the heart that is hard. And so He changes the whole person. He changes the will that is dead and He quickens it. And He makes that the people really do what the Lord wants them to do. He makes that godly sorrow, and that godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world works death. What is your sorrow headed toward? Is your sorrow heading to the world? Maybe tonight you're in church and you're already thinking about the week to come, what you can do. Or is it already time that we can stop, that we can go home? You look after all the earthly things. Or is in your heart, oh Lord, they want to speak to my heart. Oh, I want to stay here. I want to hear your thou voice. That is what I'm looking after. I'm looking after the righteousness that's not with me, but that thou can give us me. That is how the sorrow, the godly sorrow, works the fear in the heart. It's a fear of trembling. Trembling. The Lord is holy, holy, holy is the Lord. It makes you humbling. The Lord so high. I'm so small. I'm a sinner. Makes you bowing down. It is also gives you the love to the Lord. It gives you that you want to serve the Lord. You want to obey the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. So important. The fear of the Lord and those marks. Those are the marks of grace. Those are the marks of an other heart. A changed heart. A new heart. Do you recognize those marks? Oh, pray the Lord if He will give you another heart. Otherwise, we cannot withstand the temptations. Oh no, we cannot do that by our own power. But Daniel, he was fearing the Lord. And he purposed, he put in his heart. What did he put? Not to defile himself. Not to defile, well, not his body. Not to defile his conscience. And that is why he drew the line. He could do a lot of things. But never, ever break the laws of the Old Covenant. And in the Old Covenant, it was not allowed to eat the foot of the king. Because that foot, it was offered to the idols. That foot, maybe, it had meat from pigs. And it was not allowed by God to take this foot. But Daniel, why so difficult? God is dead. Bel is living. Why should you do so difficult? You still believe in that God? He does not exist. And if He exists, He has absolutely no power. especially not in Babylon. Why so difficult? Now, Daniel, it is written. It's not allowed. And that's where he draw the line. He did not have answers on all the questions. But he was obeying the Lord. He put in his heart not to defile him. Not to break the law of God. And he also did not take wine. Liqueur and wine. Why not? He was allowed to drink wine. He was. But Daniel, he realizes, when he was drinking wine, that lowers the resistance against sin. When you're drinking wine, or beer, or alcohol, sin can get so near, especially in such an environment. So you really see what Daniel did. He drew the line where the law of God is, not to go over that line. He put in his heart. But also not to put himself in a position where the temptation is more stronger. So the lesson here that we have to do everything to take out the temptation, every possibility of the temptation, we have to do very far away from us. Daniel definitely did not play with sin. And still the tempter come, that's true. But Daniel did not play with it. That was Daniel's choice. And such a choice always have consequences. It's not a cheap choice. What are the consequences then for Daniel? What are the consequences if you make such a choice in your job, in your daily life? There are consequences. Daniel, he lost his friends. 96 out of those 100 Jewish followers, he lost them. There were only 3 others next to Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. But all the others, you can imagine, you still believe in Jehovah? They mocked Daniel and his friends. They even became enemies. You can read later in chapter 6. They like to put him in the lion's den. That is what happened when you choose to serve the Lord. There were also more consequences. Not to get to row your foot anymore. All the wealth of this world. He said no to it. You cannot enjoy it. He was taking his job at risk to become a leader. He was risking that. And maybe got tempted again. If Daniel, you do not do this, you cannot become a leader. So who then will be the leader of the Jewish people? Oh, God has appointed you to make a leader. That's why, don't be so strict, but make sure you become a leader. You feel the temptation. He's drawing the line. This is what the Lord ordained, ordered. I have to do that. Oh, Daniel could have even been brought to prison. To prison? Do you really believe when Nebuchadnezzar would hear this, that he would send to prison? He would send to death. That's what the risk that you calculate in the world. If you make this choice, it will cost you a lot. It will cost you your job. Maybe it will cost you life. And you have to really count the cost. Did you? Do you? Or is that cost too high for you? I cannot do this. Let's leave it. Like Peter. Even a young maid. He looked at him. And then he forgot his master. The cost was too high. Is the cost for you also too high? Daniel, he purposed in his heart. And in this, Daniel also is a type of Jesus Christ. Daniel was obedient. Jesus Christ also, he was obedient to death. But he was obedient to his Father. He was tested by Satan very seriously. He was mocked by his people. He knew what he was going to suffer. But still he was obedient to his Father. Oh, more than Daniel is here. It has a cost. But in this case, it's not always. But in this case, there was also mercy. Mercy worked by the Lord. Now what did Daniel do? He did not just sit. He did not shout. No, he took the means. And he went to his superior. Daniel went to his chief. The prince of the eunuchs, Ashpenaz. And he humbly explained it. Well, Ashpenaz did not help him immediately. He said, I cannot do that, Daniel. Because I'm taking my own life at risk. If you do not look better, then Nebuchadnezzar will take my life. But still there was an opening. And with that opening, Daniel, he goes to the other servant that was given to him. And what happened? The Lord turneth the king's heart as rivers of water, whichsoever he will. Nebuchadnezzar, he put names, different names. Daniel, he purposed, he put that line in his heart. And now the Lord gave, as we read, it's the same word, the Lord put grace and mercy in the heart of Ashpenaz and in the heart of the other servant, Melzar. They listened to him. So now God helped. Why did God help now? Because the people of Israel need to be preserved. Daniel needs to be preserved. But also the people of Israel more important. And Daniel would be the mean. The people of Israel would be preserved. Because there was a promise for those people. Jesus Christ, he should come. He should come and he should be born out of those people. Now the people of the Lord, the people of Israel, they had to be reserved. And also was to the honor of God. So now the Lord, he finally did help. And you show the sovereignty. The Lord put grace in the hearts of Ashpenaz. He was convinced. And also Melzar, the other servant. Daniel asked him, we would like that you test us 10 days. O Melzar, don't give us the food of the king for only 10 days. But give us the pulse. Give us that is seeded on the land. Give us not the flesh, the meat. But give us not the meat, but give us the pulse. For only 10 days. And then we'll see what happened. Daniel, how can you say that? Daniel, you're tempting the Lord. Is it written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord, thy God? Was this really tempting? Can you really say, test me for 10 days and the Lord will show that I will be fettered? Oh, Daniel, he did this in belief. Together with his friends, in those 10 days, he bowed down before the Lord every morning, every evening, every moment. Later on, we read from Daniel, he was praying 3 times a day. He's bowing down his knees. And he lay, and those friends, they laid their lives into God's hand. O Lord, would thou help us? O Lord, we have said that you will help us in 10 days. And we cannot. And we deserve nothing. But Lord, it is your matter. It's thou matter. It's not our thing. It's because of their honor. Thou honor. It's because of thou glory. And so they put really down the petitions unto the Lord. They obeyed the Lord. They trusted the Lord. That's the faith. And what was the outcome? We will see that in our next thought. But let's first sing Psalter 161, stanza 3, 4 and 5. My soul, in silence wait for God. He is my help approved. He only is my rock and tower, and thou shalt not be moved. And what follows also in 4 and 5. 161, 3, 4 and 5. It is as if we were listening to those three friends when they were put before the fiery oven. Our Lord is who we serve, and He will save us. But if not, be sure, O King, we will not bow down for thy idols. Daniel and his three friends, they do the same. We will obey the Lord. The Lord will help. But if not, He's sovereign. He's free to do or not to do. But then the Lord, He helped. Oh, what is the outcome? After 10 days, we read in verse 15, and at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat a portion of the king's meat. After those 10 days, the pulse was really blessed. Blessed much more than the meat of all the other people, like this morning. It's not about the food in the first place that we get. It's not about the means. It's how the Lord blessed the means, not the bread alone, but what proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Or as we read in Proverbs 10, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He added no sorrow with it. And also the Lord Jesus Himself, He said in Matthew 6, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you really believe that? Do you believe that? When you first seek the kingdom of God, all those other things shall be added to you. Why then in the morning, and you are in a rush to go out, no time to read, no time to seek the Lord, do you really believe this is true? Oh, Daniel, he really believed. He really relied on the Lord. Faith is obedience and is relying on the word of the Lord. And what was the outcome? Fatter and fairer. And also the temptation stopped. The portion of the king's meat was taken away. And they were eating the pulse. Oh, not the wealthy food. But this was much better. It was with the blessing of the Lord. And that is much more than all the wealth of the world. God gave. That is what we read in verse 17. God gave. He is the sovereign God. He reigns. And like God gave Jehoiakim in Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Unbelievable. Jehoiakim, the king of Jerusalem, given in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And like God brought Daniel into favor, also here, the Lord gave. The Lord was looking after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. And we read in verse 17, after the 3 years, they were brought in front of the king, and their knowledge and skills in learning and wisdom were far more than the others. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge. That means learning. They were good learn. And skill in all learning and wisdom. They could also apply. They had a good judgment. They were very wise people. And Daniel had understanding in all visions. As we can read in Daniel 7, 8, 9 till 12. And dreams. He could explain the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. He could explain what was written on the wall. Meni, meni, tekel, ufasin. That was what the Lord gave them. Oh, He blessed them more than all the others. And when they were before the king, at the end of those days, they should bring them in. Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And here you see the blessing, an earthly blessing. but there's a heavenly blessing behind it. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And we read further, there were none like them. 10 times were they better. Oh, many times were they better than all the other people, because they relied on their Lord. Oh, how noticeable was how what they received. How noticeable was the blessing of the Lord. Not by the meat, not by the wealth of the earth, but by the blessing of the Lord. Why did the Lord do this? Well, also, to give a leader and leaders to the people of Israel. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted to give leaders to the people that lead the people of Israel toward the idol Baal. But here the Lord reigns sovereignly. And he points this leader that he would bring the people even back to Jerusalem. Oh, Daniel, he was a leader of sinful people. And so is also an image, a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he is also a leader of sinful people. And where Daniel was praying, where he was doing intercession for the people of Israel, our children know, chapter 6, he's praying 3 times a day to Jerusalem. Chapter 9, we see Daniel again praying, because the 70 years are almost ended. O Lord, would thou bring the people back as thou promised? Praying for his people, doing intercession. Don't look at our sins. So is the Lord Jesus. And he still is on the right hand of his Father. He's doing the intercession for sinful people that has not deserved anything, that has deserved to be taken out of their country, to washed out. But he is doing the intercession at the right hand of his Father. There he is even collecting his church. He's keeping his church that thy faith will not fail. He's guiding his church. Oh, there is more than Daniel. The perfect Daniel at the right hand of the Father. He is doing intercession for all his people. Daniel, he was seeking the honor of God. As we can also read in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. So is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, more than Daniel is here. Always he had been looking after and searching for the honor of his Father. Oh, this Lord Jesus Christ is given by God to people that are in misery because of their own fault. Like Daniel was given as an example. But the Lord Jesus is more. He was also tested. And he was not spared. Oh, where Daniel was spared, but Daniel got favor, the Lord Jesus did not. And he had to be crucified, because he had to pay for all the sins to be the Savior of his people. But then, like Daniel, he got highly glorified, highly privileged. Why? Oh, to preserve his people that has been captive, to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, to liberate them, to deliver them out of the house of bondage, out of the bondage of the sins. Oh, this Jesus, this bigger Daniel, this greater Daniel, he broke Satan's deceits and snares for those that are in bonds. And then we read in the last verse of Daniel, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. What happened then? Well, the empire of Babylon was fallen. No, Nebuchadnezzar, no, Satan, you do not rule over Jerusalem. Your empire is only temporary. Daniel continued even unto the first year of King of Cyrus. The empire of Babylon has fallen. And the people of Israel are to be brought back to Jerusalem So Daniel, he was still there to bring his people back into freedom, back to Jerusalem. And so is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is also staying forever. And he brings his people back into the fatherly house for their freedom and to the glory of God. Now the people of Israel, they really needed a leader like Daniel. Do you also need the leader like Daniel, the eternal Daniel, Jesus Christ, a leader to deliver you, to deliver you out of the sin, to deliver you on that place where you are because of your own fault, because you did not listen to the Lord, because you did your own wants, and your heart was looking after the world and still is. But he can deliver you from that. He can brought you back. Oh, do you already need that Savior? Do you already have that as your personal Savior? Because that's what is needed. We need to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Otherwise, we will end up like most of the people of Israel in Babylon, and they would never come again. But those who believe in Jesus Christ, he will bring them back. He is the big Savior. He is the eternal Daniel. And he will save all his people because he's at the right hand of his Father. And he will reign. Maybe hidden, but he will reign. And he will bring back his people to glorify the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, the people of Israel, they needed a leader to return to Jerusalem. And so have thou given them that leader in Daniel. But thou also have provided for Jesus Christ, who is that leader of all his people, who is the intercessor at thou right hand. And we pray thee that we may need that intercessor, that we may also need his provision, that he keeps us like he kept Daniel, that we would not defile ourselves. O would thou give that in our hearts, that you would not defile also this week when you have to encounter many trials and afflictions. But may our eye be on thee, that we draw the line, that we are obedient to thy law, and that all by the grace being deserved by Jesus that thou sent to deliver thy people, O be gracious to us, forgive all our sins also in this hour, and would thou bless what is thy word, would thou bless it to the hearts, to thy honor and glory, and to deliver thy people out of bondage. We pray thee in Jesus' name alone. Amen.